Brian Mayer on WNYC, and as a young actor, my next guest nailed her first major role on screen in the epic sci-fi series The X-Files. Agent Scully, played by Gillian Anderson, investigated extraterrestrials and kept viewers coming back each week before the age of binge-watching to see how her and Mulder would carry on their quest for the deeper truths of our universe. Anderson went on to play Hannibal Lecter's analyst, among other notable roles. And now she's written a new sci-fi thriller of her own as the co-author of A Vision of Fire, the first book in a trilogy that would leave even Agent Scully's head spinning. Gillian Anderson, welcome to WNYC.
Hi.
For people thinking, oh, actresses can't write and writers can't act, are you here to disabuse them of that notion?
Yes, indeed. What more can I say?
Is it your first attempt at writing a book?
It is my first attempt at writing a book. I've been attempting to adapt a book into a screenplay for about 15 years. So this has come a lot quicker. And a lot of that has to do with my co-writer, Jeff Rovin.
Who's written a lot.
Has written a lot very successfully. Yes, indeed.
And obviously people know you from some sci-fi roles, among other things. Did you lean toward this kind of a book because of your acting career, or did you lean toward those acting roles because you're a sci-fi fan?
I would not have been approached to be involved in this book were it not from a previous job in a sci-fi series that I was involved in. And so that in and of itself has influenced some of the work that I've done. The majority of the work I've done since doing The X-Files has not been sci-fi related.
Right.
But this is the first time that I have been formally approached to consider writing a book, and it happens to be science fiction.
And listeners, if you want to call and talk to Gillian Anderson today, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Are you much of a sci-fi reader? Do you have favorite sci-fi books?
I'm not much of a sci-fi reader. I am a sci-fi moviegoer. I am very fond of the genre in cinema.
What do you like, for example?
Anything to do with time travel. Close Encounters of the Third Kind is probably one of my favorite films. I've slowly but surely attempting to introduce my young boys to various forms of science fiction where appropriate. And
I always thought Close Encounters was one of the great forgotten science fiction films because it came out at right about the same time as Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it got completely swamped in, you know, sort of the public culture.
I agree, and I think it's timeless. There's something extremely timeless about that film.
Very, very personal. A Vision of Fire. Give us the blurb. Where would you start?
I think I've got it memorized. it's about a woman in New York City. She's a psychiatrist and deals with troubled teens. And she has a son. She's a single mother. And she has a very solid home life. And all of a sudden, she is introduced to a young girl who is having issues. I'm sorry, that's creeping me out.
You can, and listeners, if you don't know what's going on, somebody's in here with a camera taking Gillian Anderson's picture. And being the professional actor you are, you were trying to look at the camera. That was very professional.
Thank you,
but you can ignore the camera.
All right. I'll ignore it.
They'll get you. Candid speaking into a microphone shots.
She's introduced to a young girl who is exhibiting some strange behavior. The young girl, Minik, is the daughter of the Indian ambassador to the UN, and he has sustained an assassination attempt in the previous week. And since the attempt, his daughter, Minik, has been exhibiting some very strange behavior, and Caitlin is brought in by a friend of the family to help diagnose. And in the process of her research, she discovers that there are other youths who have been exhibiting similar behaviors around the world. There's a young girl in Haiti. There's a young man in Iran. And so her research takes her around the world and also takes her into the past, where she discovers that a mysterious civilization is responsible for the events that are taking place today.
And the writing is very visual, very cinematic. I think there's this voodoo scene in Haiti, that is absolutely gripping. You can see the main character, Caitlin, being thrown against the wall as if you're watching a movie. Was it written with conversion to the screen in mind?
Most definitely it was. I mean, that was my my entry into involvement, was to create – my desire was to create a character who would translate to the screen, and that the through line and our epic tale would be cinematic enough that we could be having that conversation in short order.
Mm, with Caitlin played by you?
Quite possibly, yes, as it happens.
So I want to play a quick clip of you as Agent Scully,
okay,
if you can stand it, in the pilot episode of The X-Files.
Oh, my God.
The girl obviously died of something. If it was natural causes, it's plausible that there was something missed in the postmortem. If she was murdered, it's plausible there was a sloppy investigation. What I find fantastic is any notion that there are answers beyond the realm of science. The answers are there. You just have to know where to look.
That's why they put the I in FBI. See you tomorrow morning, Scully.
Wait, why are you holding your head?
Oh, my God, I just got goosebumps.
Did you not like that?
Oh, it's so funny. I was on a news station this morning, and they played a clip from the pilot as well, but it's been a very long time since I have seen that, and yes.
But script-wise, character-wise, Agent Scully is definitely a skeptic, whereas in Vision of Fire, Caitlin seems to be, let's say, a bit more susceptible to believing in some other explanation about things.
Mm. Yes.
Just an interesting contrast.
Yes.
So,
and I am more as well. I mean, I'm the irony during the series that David and I were actually had flip places, really. I was much more open-minded, and David has a tendency to be more skeptical than his character Mulder. So this feels more up my alley than the consummate skeptic.
Open-minded in this case, meaning religious or
spiritual, energetic, etc., etc. All of which you will find in the book. But the idea that our civilization has a common root, and that ultimately it's the book and life is about unity and not separation.
212-433-WNYC to talk to Gillian Anderson this morning. Charles in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Gillian.
Hello.
Big fan.
Charles.
Hi. What I was wondering is, you had mentioned that you had specifically been thinking about translation of the screen and creating the character in the book. And was there a particular cinematic style from a television show or a film that really spoke to you when you were creating this character that you had in mind?
No, as a matter of fact.
People always ask the influences question.
Yeah.
As if we model our work after other people, and sometimes
but,
we no,
but
do.
But yeah, we must be influenced in some way, even subconsciously. I can't say that I was in particular. No, Jeff, on the other hand, is a
your co-author.
My co-author, sorry, knows everything there is to know about science fiction, and probably has read every book and seen every film. And it's possible that within his years and years of research and viewership, there have been influences from his side. Yes,
Charles, thank you for your call. So I read this morning about your life a little bit. See, that you were born in Chicago,
yeah,
raised in London,
yeah,
and Michigan,
uh-huh,
and then went to college in Chicago.
Did
all
indeed,
true.
Yes, yes, all
and
true.
Now that I'm hearing you speaking not in character, I think I hear a little bit of sort of London / Midwest. Would you put it that way?
Definitely when I'm here. I mean, when I'm in the UK, I'm pretty fully fledged British. That was how I grew up, and it's near to impossible not to slip into it when I'm there. But so, yes, I can imagine that there are, and even just now when I was listening to Scully, there were bits of Britishisms in there.
Yes, along with the Chicago air.
Yeah.
One of the most chilling aspects of the book, A Vision of Fire, I think, is how realistic and sort of current events hooked some of the themes seem to be, like impending nuclear war, the politics of the United Nations, the use of viral videos. Were you trying to seem current events linked in any way?
Most definitely, yes. We discuss Kashmir, which is a region which is current underreported. And both Pakistan and India are nuclear nations, and it's not a small thing that there is constant upheaval there. But there's also – we are in Haiti. We are in Iran. We are around the world. But it's also a desire of ours to be socially conscious and show – different cultures and the way that human beings, the situations that they find themselves in today, the levels of poverty, the how religion affects our lives, etc., and to show human beings that we come to care about as main characters within the series of the book.
And I should say that Gillian Anderson is doing an event for the book at 6 o'clock tonight at the Barnes & Noble in Tribeca. Reading and signing?
Yes, reading and signing.
And I see.
Reading? Yes, reading. Am I reading? Yes, reading and signing. Reading, signing, and talking.
6 o'clock, Barnes & Noble in Tribeca. And this is released as the first of the Earth End saga.
Hmm.
So you're starting out from the get-go saying this is supposed to be a trilogy.
Yes, yes. And the second book is in process already. It will be a trilogy. It is a trilogy.
And if it weren't made off into a spin-off show or a movie. Well, you're thinking more movie than television?
At this stage, I am, but we are, of course, open to the best format for it.
Children also play a vital role in this story, and not just as characters in A Vision of Fire, but as a main theme of the moral consequences in the book. And you talked about how you wanted this to live in the moral world. The adults are making these grand destructive decisions that the children then are victimized by. Is this a – does, you know, your own place as a mother inspire you on this, or when you look around the world at the plight of so many kids in different places?
I'm sure both. I mean, as a mother, the thought of imagining myself in a situation as many parents are around the world, whether you're talking about Sierra Leone or Syria or Afghanistan, these are unfathomable atrocities that are happening today under our noses. And I cannot even begin to imagine what that must be like. And so, in a sense, it's bringing the human being behind those situations to the forefront and drawing attention to it.
Question tweeted by a listener: when will the next season of The Fall be on Netflix? She says, I need resolution.
Who says you're going to get resolution? That's not what we're offering. In the UK, it's November. I think in January, it's the US. But don't quote me on that.
Uh-huh. So you're doing Comic-Con, right?
I'm doing Comic-Con, yeah.
Comic-Con, which you've done as an actress, yes?
Yes, done as an actress. And we'll be doing as an actress as well, by actress and writer. But yes,
as an actress and writer.
I will still be an actress this weekend.
Doing a different thing now that you also have a book? Or what's your appearance
there?
No,
just basically,
I
don't know, showing up, saying hi, signing stuff, doing a couple panels, fending for my life, you know, the usual stuff at Comic-Con.
The X-Files ran before streaming services allowed for binge watching of television, so audiences had to wait until the next week to satisfy any cliffhangers, like that tweeter who wants resolution. I don't want to do any spoilers about the book, but I'm guessing, and not having read it myself to the end, that A Vision of Fire being number one in a trilogy does not have a clear resolution.
No. In fact, the last scene in the book is, as you would imagine, so provocative that you will not be able to buy the second book in the trilogy.
Vision of Fire. A Vision of Fire. Sorry, let me get that exactly right. It's A Vision of Fire, a novel co-written now by Gillian Anderson, taking on the writer role for the first time. and she will be doing a book event for A Vision of Fire tonight at 6 o'clock at the Barnes & Noble in Tribeca. So nice to meet you. Thank you for coming
on. Nice to meet you, too. Thank you so much for having me.